main crux of the work that I'm doing is trying to make the connection between materials and consumption and climate change. So it's looking upstream at all of the energy and corollary greenhouse gases that are emitted whenever we produce and use all of the goods and materials in our economy.
And they call this climaterials? Is
that right. Yeah, it's a word that is, you know, a portmanteau of climate and materials that is trying to get across this message.
I think we all have heard over and over again, reduce, reuse, recycle, in that order. It's trying to make that even more of that connection that if we use less, then we have to create less, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so we try to, you know, promote reduced consumption and then also reusing to the extent possible, which includes to refurbishing materials and donating materials. And then when we can't and no longer reuse materials to recycle them, which can also lead to a lot of energy recovery by avoiding extraction of raw materials.
And this is not only in, you know, the normal things that we've, this is in buildings too. You can, I mean, this is on a big scale.
That's right. So the built environment in the U.S., we generate approximately 170 million tons of material annually, and more than half of that is landfilled. So we try to promote recovery of materials through deconstruction and reuse. And if you look at all of the energy and greenhouse gases that are emitted from producing materials like cement and concrete and steel, it makes up a lot of our greenhouse gas emissions.
And you actually helped created the Life Cycle Building Challenge. Tell us what this is.
It's a very exciting competition. Actually, last year it went international, and it's focused on this idea of designing buildings for future deconstruction and for adaptability. And if you look at the existing building stock, a lot of buildings are demolished, not necessarily because they're not functional anymore, but because the need of the building has changed. Hmm. So creating buildings that can be adapted for multiple functions actually can extend the life of the building materials.
And so the challenge was, and we're starting to see these all over the place now, other agencies are picking up EPA's model, and were able to tap into folks who you may not have been able to reach out to before?
Definitely. So we've been working a lot with education, so with colleges and universities, where some of the best and brightest ideas are coming from. So the competition is open not only to professionals in architecture and engineering, but also to colleges and university students, which has been really great because we've been able to engage that audience, which we don't normally have that much access to.
And just to put a couple data sets around there, 2 million hits on this website, entries from more than 250 participants all around the world, and all resulted in 35,000 tons of construction materials being not wasted, essentially.
That's right, and it's approximately 8,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions avoided from reusing or recycling those materials.
Wow.
So we're really proud of that.
Very nice. I got to ask you, because you're a young person, you're all of 29, why federal service?
Well, it's really an amazing opportunity to be engaged with so many different types of audiences, especially working on the projects that I do that require voluntary partnership. I've been able to work with a number of different organizations, not only on the resource conservation side, but also the green building world. And just being able to see all of the types of innovation that are coming from those various organizations, it's been really encouraging. And through partnership, we've seen that the project isn't just the government doing one thing, but really making the best out of those connections between organizations. So that's been an amazing experience for me, and I one that I really value.
I think in some ways, well, I want to ask a question first. how'd you get into? You must have had other choices out there. Why'd you choose this? Why'd you choose EPA?
Well, I saw an opportunity because it was a job that was related to green building, which is certainly my passion, but it was focused on this niche of the material world of, you know, building materials and not just green building broadly. So we do look at green building from a holistic standpoint to try to look at, you know, water conservation and energy conservation, but I felt like this was a great opportunity to develop that niche of materials and energy within this larger sphere. So it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up.
Hmm. So often people, you know, think of feds as wearing the polyester suits and the almost the plastic pocket protectors. And particularly, you're a scientist, so people particularly think that you wear a plastic pocket protector, for goodness sakes. You don't wear a plastic pocket protector, do you?
I don't. Oh, okay. I don't. And no, I think that we're seeing a lot of people recognizing the opportunities in federal government, and I hope that I can be an inspiration to other people that are considering it just by, you know, those connections to other parties, and to see the government as being really an institution of enabling change and trying to bring about new ideas through its enormous reach that we have. So, you know, thinking about even the Life Cycle Building Challenge as an innovative way to engage new audiences, and really seeing that the government is capable of using those types of innovation to bring about new ideas.
And my message to folks out there is, I think this is such an amazing time to be doing this, because there are young people like you, but also these tools that are out there that are relatively easy and inexpensive to tap into, that where if you have an idea, okay, you try it, and relatively low risk. But the potential payoff, clearly, from what you've done, just like magic.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. And I think that there's so much, you know, leadership happening from local governments and state governments that the federal government is jumping in and saying, well, we're powerful, too, and we want to be a part of that.
So you've done the challenge, and many agencies looking at doing challenges now. Any lessons that you can provide for them, something you either went exceedingly well when you were doing and you're still continuing to do the challenge, but any lessons that things that worked well, things that you say, hey, we need to change this for next year?
Well, I guess in engaging these new audiences, we had to, you know, look to new media to really get the word out. I think a lot of the importance of having a completely online competition, we wanted to have it be zero waste as possible. So we have a completely online competition, but then really generating the interest in it and doing outreach requires using all sorts of new media out there. So using Twitter, using Facebook, and using those basically free media to engage new audiences. So I would say that was one thing that went really well, is using blogs and new media to drive traffic to the website. So over 2 million hits from that outreach. So learned a lot about engaging and how you can time the announcements and doing certain little intermediate blitzes to get new traffic driven to the website. So that was really exciting.
And tapping into these, almost a network of networks. And
exactly.
I tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. It becomes very powerful stuff.
Definitely. It's orders of magnitude, I think, more than just how did we used to do it? Just send out a letter, which, you know, uses paper and isn't as effective anyway.